need surgery.
Bisexuality.
The best of both worlds.
Triple bypass.
On Joy 94.9. That's right, you're here on Triple Bypass. And that was Dicks in the Air by Peaches featuring Margaret Cho. We're very excited to be bringing you an interview we had with her earlier, late last week. So firstly, though, you're on Triple Bypass and I'm Ruby.
I'm Anthony.
I'm Christina. I'm back. Hi.
Yay!
Yeah, Christina's back from her wedding. Well, not her wedding.
Not my wedding.
Her sister's wedding.
A wedding. A very important one.
It was. It was awesome.
So we're going to be jumping, I think, straight into the interview. But firstly, nice song, isn't it?
Oh, we were laughing. We were cacking ourselves.
I recommend you check out the YouTube, like the music video. It is something quite special. Margaret Cho helped produce it. It's you'll remember it.
It's a groovy track. The psychedelicness of it, and the word dick is mentioned quite a lot in that clip.
Dick. Seems to be like the major melody of the song. It's just
and the theme. Yeah.
Yeah. Must check that out.
All right. As always, we are here on Joy 94.9 and we would love to hear from you. So if you'd like, you can text us on 0427-JOY-949 or email us at onair@joy.org.au. We're always happy to hear from you. But we're going to get straight into it, I think.
Yeah. Well, if you haven't heard, we managed to interview Margaret Cho.
Yes.
Last week. And I wasn't here, unfortunately, because I was still getting drunk in Queensland. But,
she rocks.
I think you can hear in my voice that I was like vibrating at this high frequency of like excitement and nerves. Like, you know, when you vibrate so hard, you just look like you're standing completely still.
Yes.
Next thing, just disappear. Yeah. You're off exactly. On the plane.
Yeah. It was something like that. Let's get on with it. Let's get to Margaret Cho.
Here we go, Margaret Cho, folks.
We're here with Margaret Cho, which is extremely exciting. So I've had a crush on you for a very long time. Very exciting.
We all do.
It's
true.
And so cute. And you can crush on all of us because you're also bisexual.
Yes. I love it.
It is great. So you're here in Australia for your psycho tour, which is very exciting. And that's next week in Melbourne on the 12th.
Yes.
12th September. Very excited. I'm going with my dad. Family bonding experience.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm. But I guess we're here to talk to you more about sexuality, that sort of thing, here at the Sexuality Radio Station.
Yes, we are. And I guess in terms of our show where we talk about all things bi, I guess one of the questions I would have is there, because a lot of the bi people that we speak to and who are connected to not just our program but to our lives would often talk about biphobia that exists within the GLBTI community, which they find really surprising when they start to come out as bi.
Yeah.
Have you had similar experiences just personally or just with the bi community?
Well, I think there's this idea that we're either not being fully honest with our own sexuality or honest with ourselves about our sexuality, that bisexuality is kind of like this thing where before you're ready to come out, then you'll say, oh, I'm bisexual. Or there's something about like the being bisexual will be kind of less queer. So there's this sort of like way you could claim that identity and say, oh, well, I'm not really either or you know, or
I don't like labels.
Yeah. Or that's it. Yeah. People say, I don't like labels. Right. Or they say they're like not, I don't know what it is. It's like the gay community almost doesn't believe that bisexuality exists. Mm. They think you have to be completely gay or else what are you doing? And then the straight community don't necessarily think that bisexual is fully, I don't know. Yeah. they're not fully formed or they're not fully, I don't know what it is. They're not fully like an identity. I don't know.
It's interesting because I find like, my experience has been that the assumption that it's like you're actually gay, it's what usually happens more likely with bisexual men. With bisexual women, it's usually like that you're straight and you're doing it because you know the guys like it.
Right.
Has that been like, when did you, I suppose this can come to my first question, was when did you realize that you were bi, that you weren't gay, you weren't straight, you were bisexual?
It took kind of a while because I thought that I really thought I was lesbian. And then I realized I actually do like men too. So it's, I kind of was not really fitting in the lesbian community. I didn't feel like that represented me entirely. Although it represented me in a way that I felt like part of the community, but then I thought, oh, there's something else to my identity. So the being bisexual didn't sort of happen until after coming out as gay. There is a double standard for men and for women in the bisexual community. For men, it's definitely much more of this thing where if you do come out as gay and then you also feel like you're bisexual too, that there's a lot of homophobia or heterophobia around there. I'm not exactly what it is. Mm. But gay people don't accept it. Straight people don't really accept it. I don't know.
It's kind of uniting. We get to unite these two usually opposed foes in opposing us. It's great. We bring everybody together.
Well, yeah. That's a positive term, uniting. And I wonder if sort of what you were touching on was about sort of the gay or even maybe the lesbian community see it as some sort of a betrayal. You know, we're going to the dark side. You don't go there. You know, you stay over here.
Or it's kind of like we don't believe you. Like, it's mostly like, we don't believe you. We don't believe that you can possibly be both, or that you're being honest with yourself, or I'm not sure, but it's a very strange kind of place to be in the queer community in general, to not really be trusted by either side.
Yeah, I think trust is a lot of it. We've talked on the show a few times about how bisexuals are seen as untrustworthy and incapable of commitment and
just
all these
gang
things.
Bangs
and or just being constantly open. Or just being constantly open to the idea of huge sexual experiences, like that you're always ready for it. Like at any time, I'm ready to go and have a threesome. Just book me in. It's all fine. Did you find that with your own bisexuality, did your lesbian friends respond well to it, or was it kind of did they like feel like you betrayed them in any way?
Well, it is a kind of thing where they were like, really? Like, they didn't believe me. There was this idea that we're turncoats. So we're betraying the community, betraying the sisterhood, and there is that stereotype of bisexuality as being a kind of a hypersexualized individuals. But I don't think that's true either. Mm. And that commitment or fidelity can exist within a bisexual person, that because somebody's bisexual doesn't necessarily mean that they're more apt to leave or more apt to cheat or anything like that. I think that's a kind of a weird, like a moral judgment on the idea of bisexuality, which isn't really applicable.
Welcome back to Triple Bypass. We're about to jump into our second installment of our Margaret Cho interview. So enjoy.
Enjoy. Well, I think bisexuality and polyamory get put together a lot. And I think when you identify as bisexual and you kind of realize that there are no fences, there are no sides, it's open slather, say open season. Do you think that can kind of be one of the things that leads you to really consider that maybe monogamy doesn't have to be the only way as well? Like maybe if you're not monosexual, do you think there's a link between understanding bisexuality and having a better understanding of polyamory?
Yeah, I think so. But then polyamory is its own identity too. Yeah. Bisexuality, it's a different identity from being polyamorous. And sometimes they don't connect.
Yeah, absolutely.
And sometimes it's like, but that's very hard to explain to people. There's so many things that we have to, I find that bisexuals do a lot of explaining.
Yeah,
absolutely. Who they are, about what they're about. And constantly having to rectify or change people's stereotypes about bisexuality. I have been polyamorous. I'm also I've had sort of very monogamous life too. I feel like both sort of depend on the relationship, but my bisexuality doesn't have much to do with my ideas about fidelity or commitment.
Yeah, and thank you for clarifying that for our listeners and everybody, because they often get tangled up, don't they?
They really do.
And they're very different things. They can be very different things.
I think we've got another member who couldn't be here because she is in New South Wales or Queensland at a wedding with her wife. But her point was that bisexuals can be arseholes, but anyone can be an arsehole. Anyone can cheat. Like, it's nothing to do with your sexuality.
Yeah.
How did your family respond to? So did you come out as a lesbian and then were like, actually, guys, actually?
Yeah, it was I came out as a lesbian, and that my family could understand and get with. That was totally fine. But then bisexuality, they had a really hard time with, because then they were like, no, then you wait, I don't know. Really couldn't fathom that part of it, because I think my Korean family, even though they're very open-minded when it comes to gay life, they really didn't understand the bisexual aspect of it. And so that was a real struggle for them. It's still a struggle for them to really get it.
Is that a generation thing, do you think? Because my mum struggled with it. My brother came out and that was all hunky-dory. Mm-hmm. And then with me, she's like, so have you made up your mind yet? Do you know? I thought you were dating boys again.
There's a stringent thought about sexuality that you have to sort of stay in one identity, and that your bisexuality is a kind of counter to that. It's hard for people to think about us being who we are. There's like this idea you have to be gay or straight. I don't know.
Yeah, and I wonder if for same-sex attracted people, people who know they're gay or lesbian, that if they once upon a time maybe have referred to themselves as bisexual, for them it might have been part of a their own sort of psychosexual development where they were understanding their same-sex attractedness.
Yeah.
And they get to saying, okay, I'm lesbian or gay, and know that that's true for them. And so that they see us come along and say, no, we're actually bisexual, and they project that process onto us. They're like, oh, you still haven't made your mind up.
Yeah, or that they used bisexuality as a kind of a way to explain who they were because they didn't want to have the finality of saying, I am actually gay.
Yeah,
you know, that there's this kind of thing where people have used it as a on the way, like, jumping off point of, like, testing who they might be or testing out their identity, and then they were never able to fully say, okay, I'm gay, so I'm just going to say I'm bisexual for now.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird, though? Because bisexuality is, in a lot of ways, there's less support. Queer spaces are not particularly friendly, for, especially if you're in a heterosexual relationship. Mm-hmm. So when you, if you by coming out as bi first, it's almost like, it's going to be, when you come out as gay, things are going to get a lot easier.
Yeah.
It's almost like it's easier to come out as gay than it is, at least in the gay community, in the queer community.
I think so. Mm. I think so.
And being bi is hilarious.
It's hilarious. You're always explaining.
Yeah.
Always explaining.
You just come
to
out
everybody.
Every day.
And then there's not a lot of, like, bi resources or section of the community that's very vocal. Like the trans community, very vocal, very much a part of the LGBT community. But the B is very quiet part. I don't know why, but they seem to be, like, kind of sequestered to another side of the, we're almost like an afterthought.
Suspicious lot, aren't we?
Suspicious. Yeah. Kind of like, are they really with us? Or I don't know if they're with us.
Are they just going to jump ship when they meet the right person?
Yeah, that's the idea, that we're going to, like, switch over when it's inconvenient for us to not, you know, who we are. It's weird.
It's by privilege.
It's by privilege.
I don't know. I was gonna say, do you think, like, this is something that I've seen brought up a lot and I have engaged in more than one keyboard fight over this. This idea that bisexuals experience more straight privilege than gay people. And, like, we have talked, you know, the idea that everyone is coded straight in our society until they prove otherwise.
Right.
So that in that way, everyone is straight until proven otherwise. Mm-hmm. But do you think there is, like, you know, do you think we are treated better than gay people?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that would be to assume that bisexuality is sort of looked at as kind of a, I don't know if it's less gay or that I don't know, but I sort of think we're more gay.
Yeah.
We're more marginalized. If you look at, think about gay as being marginalized, or the state of being gay being marginalized, and you think, well, actually, bisexual people are much more marginalized than gay people, I think, gays and lesbians. But then I don't know.
Yeah. Triple Bypass, this is Joy 94.9.
I'm Ruby.
I'm Anthony.
And I'm Christina.
And that was Margaret Cho.
Yeah, you're listening to the interview we had with Margaret on Friday. And
so great.
And she's bisexual.
She is bisexual. She's actually, and she's in Melbourne on the 12th. That's Monday for her psycho tour, which is very exciting.
Yep. She's palpitating and fanning herself, Ruby is right now.
Look,
just really.
Well, we all are.
At the time, I couldn't appreciate it because I was trying not to throw up. So now that, you know, that's no longer a problem, I can listen. I'm just like, oh, she's so wise.
There were a number of comments that she said that I really liked. What was the one that we were talking about?
That bi people do a lot of explaining.
Yes.
Yes. And justifying.
And justifying. And yeah, exactly. I always feel as if I have to sort of go, yeah, look, I'm in this relationship with this woman, but why is it your business? But I'm feeling like I have to tell you this anyway all the time.
Yeah, because it's interesting, the explaining bit. Because I found that at the beginning I had some really sort of elaborate sort of responses to give to people. And then I just got hostile and started yelling at people.
Yeah, I get hostile.
And now I've gone to sort of more creative, like a very short, concise answers for people.
I think the most concise I got, or the most angry, was when, like, some guy had messaged me, like, some guy I dated a long time ago, and he's like, I swear to him, I got me my girlfriend. He's like, oh, so you're a lesbo. I was like, I'm bi, bro.
Bras.
Bro. You still haven't got a chance, mate. But it was like, you know, just that kind of, again, like, it hadn't even occurred that I dated him, and I was dating a woman, it hadn't even occurred that I was bisexual. I was just like, what more could you possibly need?
It's really interesting that the responses that we have from people are so black and white, given that our experience of the life shows us that nothing is black and white, that we live in a constant state of grey.
Yeah.
So why they can't grasp the concept of, I used to date you, now I date her, doesn't necessarily mean anything's changed in terms of who we are as people. It just means that we're expressing our bisexuality. What is so hard about that?
All right. She was saying something similar. Bisexuals, in Margaret Cho's words, you know, we are more ostracized at points than the gay community.
But we have bi privilege, so, you know?
Yes, I guess the one thing that strikes me about what Margaret was saying is that the bi experience is kind of universal. We all kind of sound the same in a very good way. We have the same experiences to share and the same.
We run into the same obstacles, I think.
Yeah,
and we found the ways to navigate them. Now, firstly, I just thank Naomi from Mill Park has messaged in saying Margaret Cho is fantastic. She is.
If you have any opinions about Margaret Cho, and we would welcome them, then certainly send them to us. You can SMS us on 0427JOY949. You can even email us onair@joy.org.au. We would love to hear your opinions of our interview with Margaret Cho.
You can also message us with the new Joy app, which is available.
We have an app.
We have an app, and you can message us from the app.
Yeah, or get on our Facebook page and check that out. There's a few photos of Margaret on there.
Some very nice photos of Anthony.
And me. Yeah.
Looking very fly.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that.
I think we're going to go to some messages, and then we're going to go back to the interview after a song.
Totes.
You're on Joy.
You're on Joy.
Triple Bypass with Anthony.
Ruby.
And Christina.
And that was Magnets with By Disclosure featuring Lord from New Zealand. I wanted to say she was Australian.
No.
It was convenient. That's what we do, Australians. No. It's convenient. Yeah. It was a matter of convenience.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? A little side note. I was acting in a play like many, many years ago, and an Australian friend came up to me and goes, "You're so good, we could say you're Australian." There you go.
Is that a compliment or?
I don't know.
And we've been playing through our interview with Margaret Cho, which happened on last Friday. Anthony and I got to meet her, which is fantastic. And that seems to be received quite well. Now, we recently just got a text from Wayne from Narrawarren. Thank you so much for texting in, Wayne. Why do you think that gay and lesbian individuals have the perception that there is such a thing as bi privilege? I think because they see bisexual people occasionally in opposite sex relationships and assume that because a lot of their experience is defined by who they're with and the way that people treat them based on who they're with, that if they're spending time with people of the opposite sex, then they must be getting being treated better.
Hetero privilege.
Yeah.
And I understand, Wayne, your message is this kind of idea that we sort of double dip and we have sort of double the fun or double the pleasure.
I think that's the issue with coming to terms with yourself as well, like, you know, and especially when our community, we do define ourselves really strongly by these labels because they're used on us so often and they're used to define us so often, and sexuality does define you hugely anyway. But I think it's seen as crossing a barrier that, you know, and like, you know, the fact that bi people can get married and do get married in countries where same-sex marriage is not legal, that's definitely, you know, that ruffles some feathers, to put it mildly.
But to be honest, I wouldn't call that any kind of privilege. For me, being bisexual is basically having the freedom to fall in love with whomever you want to fall in love with, given it's consensual, of course.
Yeah. Mm.
So if you happen to fall in love with a member of the opposite sex and can get married, I mean, that sucks for those of us who are married to or wanting to be married to someone of the same sex. But my sister is bisexual and recently got married, and we had this huge conversation about it beforehand. And
she got married to a man.
To a man, yeah. We had this huge conversation about it, and she said that it angers her and it upsets her so much that there is this pall over her happy day because her sister can't legally marry the woman that she loves. So, I don't think that that's privilege at all, because even my sister, who is also bisexual, is still feeling that pain.
But I think that's a lot. It's internal, you know. It's difficult, and until we come forward and explain it, which as Margaret Cho was saying, we do a lot of explaining. Until we explain it, I can see why it would just look like we're getting to enjoy at least half of Eden. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how I'd say it.
Yes. Eden, hey?
But it's not like that, of course, you know, because, you know, what's happening internally and the way straight people treat you when you're not straight is, you know, not the way they treat each other.
Yes. And often we get the double whammy of biphobia from every side of the fence. So that's not a very privileged position either.
And can I say something maybe a little bit inflammatory?
Please do.
What else is new?
I find the straight world a little bit boring. to be honest. I don't think there's any privilege in that at all about being in this boring environment. And please, welcoming all the texts that will shoot me down for saying that. Come, please fight me. I'm raring for a go. Do it.
Well, yeah, I kind of know what you mean, but we're going to let Margaret Cho talk some more about bisexuality and see if she comes up with a few answers.
Hope we answered your question, Wayne.
Yeah, so stay tuned. Here's Margaret Cho.
You're on Joy.
One of the things I've noticed is that while we're getting, we've come a long way as far as having gay characters in media,
mm-hmm.
bisexual characters still seem to be really rare. And if they are, if you do see someone who does sleep with a man and then a woman for some reason, again, they don't like labels. Actually hearing the word bisexual on television, yeah. I think one time in Tina Fey made a joke about it being like, oh, what was that, like a hairspray from the 90s or something?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Doesn't exist. It's not there.
Yeah. It's not there or... There's few bisexual characters. Well, like one bisexual character, which I think makes sense to me, is actually Piper from Orange is the New Black. That's kind of a character that's like, she doesn't put such a judgment on her sexuality. She has feelings for both. And those are very clear feelings.
She doesn't like labels.
But she doesn't like labels yet. She doesn't talk about labels.
Yeah. And then, and again, bisexuality is not mentioned in all the seasons of that show. That word.
Right.
Has
the
not
word
been mentioned.
Isn't like it's. Yeah. But I mean, I think it's just. It's a good representation of a bisexual
Absolutely.
Character.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The way she expresses it and the sort of composure around it, there's this unapologeticness about the way she performs.
Yeah. She's just attracted in very visceral ways to different. Like gendered people, but she doesn't like labels, but maybe she's just, I don't know.
Yeah,
she's bisexual.
When I was growing up, it was kind of like the fad. And so if you were labeled as bisexual, it's an instant thing of you're doing it to be different or like, you're doing it to be a unique snowflake.
Yeah.
And again, like it did feel like, I think we've moved past that to a point, like, we're seeing more people come out and saying actually like Anna Paquin's bisexual, people actually come out and be like, no, this is what I am.
Yeah.
But I suppose there is that difficulty of when you see a married person that's whatever relationship they're in, that's their sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
So, if a bisexual person is married in a same-sex relationship, that person is now gay.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Or vice versa. Has that been like, do you have bisexual friends who are married? Like, has people treated you differently since you got married? Or
I think people sort of think that you can't possibly be, like not cheat, like you have to be a cheater or something. You can't be like in a committed relationship or a monogamous relationship or there's something distrustworthy. I don't know exactly what it is, but you can be like bisexual and then be with somebody of the same gender or different gender and be married. And there's still going to be like that possibility of you wanting to be with somebody else in the future. So it's like, can a bisexual be monogamous? I think so, because it's not, I don't know. It's just all these weird questions about monogamy, about whether you're gay or not. It's very confusing.
Yeah. And I don't know one relationship where the partners in it don't often think about being with somebody else at some point.
It always exists, so.
I think people, if you're bisexual, they're like, there are twice as many like people who might be distracted by, like, twice as more likely to leave me.
Yeah.
And I know, like, for heterosexual guys, they can find it very intimidating to date bisexual women, because it is just kind of like they could actually go off with a woman and I wouldn't be allowed to be involved either. It'd be a disaster.
It's not all about them.
No, it's not all about them.
But then, like, I never see a lot of bisexual men who are married to women, like, or they talk about their bisexuality and yet are with a female partner. It's an identity that, like, bisexual men in general, it's not really safe to be out in any way, because in the gay community, you're looked at in a certain way, and in the straight community, you're looked at in a certain way. So bisexual men have a harder time of it than women, I think.
I think with things like with sex, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's actually a book that's come out in Australia recently about women who love bisexual men.
Mm-hmm.
And like a lot of the assumptions made, like, that bisexual men like put women at risk because they have unprotected sex and can pass on HIV and things like that. But I've always found it interesting that there's this idea that bisexual men do struggle a bit to go out and date women without facing a huge amount of judgment from the gay communities. And you do kind of wonder if this is what happens when you separate the genders.
Mm-hmm.
If you just get these like echo chambers where any, women are not welcome in gay spaces and are not welcome in lesbian spaces, and that kind of bisexuals are kind of trying to breach that divide, but there's a whole lot of reasons why the genders don't always get on that well.
Yes, well, totally. And I think as a bisexual man, I think I've been very lucky to have very understanding partners, both male and female, and I've had relationships with a trans woman as well. And identifying myself as bisexual at the beginning of those relationships was I had all those questions that you referred to earlier, and those suspicions at different sort of degrees. But overall, largely sort of non-issue when it came to down to the nuts and bolts of the relationship.
What's been the funniest reaction someone's had, like a partner's had, to you saying you're bisexual? Like the maybe or not funny haha, but
maybe like they always thought it was a phase, or that it's sort of like, oh well, you're gonna decide. And it is the decision to be bisexual. And then with men also, like what I've noticed with bisexual men or heterosexual men, most heterosexual men I've known have had homosexual experience, multiple homosexual experiences.
Oh, I see them at the gay saunas.
Yeah. They're not that straight.
No.
They're never that straight.
Well, you heard it here, folks. Triple bypass.
Well, see, now here's the other argument. Is everybody bisexual? Because this is something that, you know, has come out as we start talking about the sexuality spectrum and the Kinsley scale and study that, to a point, does everyone experience some level of attraction for each other? And then for men especially, the whole, like, masculinity stuff means that they just push that right down and ignore it. And even though men who love women are just like, well, I love women almost all the time, and sure, I like getting my dick sucked, but by a guy, and maybe I like sucking a guy's dick, but I'm still totally straight, because being bisexual is still seen as too queer.
I don't know. I mean, I think that everybody does have degrees of homosexuality and heterosexuality to them, but I don't know if anybody would really, like, say, or most people would say that they're bisexual. You know, being bisexual is a specific identity. But even though they're, like, technically their sexuality would probably be considered bisexual. It's certainly an identity.
Well, there's sexual behavior, and then there's the way you identify your sexual gender identity. And I guess because we have a label here, men, MSM, men who have sex with men. And generally this would be the man who sort of stops by a beat on the way home to his wife and has a figure with a group of men in the bushes and carries on. So
You know, goes to the right public toilet block at the right time, the right people.
That's so cute, though. I think that should be. I think it's really cute.
And welcome back to Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9.
And we have been discussing Margaret Cho. You've been listening to the interview from last Friday. And we have a couple of text messages that have come in. So thank you, listeners, for joining into the conversation.
Of course, if you want to join the conversation at any point, you're always free to do so. You can text us at 0427JOY949 or send us an email at onair@joy.org.au.
Now, we've got a message from an undisclosed person.
Anonymous
has texted in and said, the best description of bi that I have heard is Sears, I don't care if you have a ding or a dong. Wow.
Sia's so great.
I love Sia.
Yeah. What do I have, a ding or a dong? I can't work that one out.
You have a dong, darling.
do you get it now?
Got it.
Oh, dear.
Bisexuals are funny.
Well, and of course, one of the other messages we got in was about our favourite bisexual music artists, and Sia would definitely be mine. That I was thinking, I can't think of a
We've been playing a hell of a lot of them lately. Missy Higgins is one of them.
Brendan Urie from Panic at the Disco.
Frank Ocean that we played.
And I was busting the moves to Freddie Mercury on Friday night.
I think everyone can bust a move to Freddie.
He's
always
Mr. Bisexual.
He is Mr. Bisexual. Yeah.
I love to ride my bicycle. I love it too, Freddie. I love it too.
Lots of teeth, though. I thought Freddie had teeth. You know, big teeth.
Do you know that he was operatically trained? Really? Actually, a trained opera singer.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
He had the power.
Yeah.
I've always wondered what inspired Bohemian Rhapsody. Like, it's an incredible song, but when you, like, listen to it without, like, it's all over the place. Yeah. There's all these different styles in it. There's, no real coherent, like, story, but it's still, so good.
And the guitaring's amazing.
I'm putting it down to an epic acid weekend.
Yeah.
That Queen just went on that. Not that I condone the taking of any kind of illicit drugs at all.
Yeah, by tripping.
By tripping. He was tripped out on some bisexual good shit, mate. That's what we do every weekend here on Joy.
We're going to be going to the final part of our interview with Margaret Cho. So prepare yourselves for that. You're listening to Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9.
I have a non-bi question to ask, and it could be a bi question.
Okay.
I know that one of your inspirations was Bill Hicks, the late Bill Hicks.
Yes.
I love Bill Hicks.
I love him, yeah.
I'm going to just imagine his bi just to love him even more.
Mm-hmm.
So what was it about his work specifically that sort of you grabbed onto? And
I think he was an evangelist. You know, he had a lot of like very big ideas about spirituality and very big ideas about comedy. And I feel like there was something about him that was so much informed by spirit and so unafraid of going into that arena. So, and I do think that of all men, he was the most beloved by men. Like there was this incredible passion that men had for Bill that went beyond sexuality, that went beyond any kind of ideas about masculinity or loving a man. So he was certainly one of those guys that kind of crossed over.
So men didn't love him just because he wore the cowboy hat and the cowboy boots?
No, it was about his message, and he was so loving, and his message was very, very loving, and he almost had like sort of a ministry, like his comedy was really very spiritual, and he was a great guy too, just a good person.
Because I feel like some of your work too has been provocative in different ways, but that sense of sort of getting people to think, is that part of your motivation when you're sort of writing? And
yeah, you want to have like a kind of a spiritual element to it. To me, a real passion to have to be comedy, but also have much more underneath the surface. So I learned that from Bill's sure.
George Carlin, he was in the same sort of genre, if you like, of comedians or stand-up philosophers, really.
Yeah, he was a philosopher and a great comedian and a really amazing force in stand-up. And I'm friends with his daughter, Kelly, and I was able to honor him at the Kennedy Center for the Mark Twain Award after he died. So that was a great honor, but he was really amazing too.
Now, jumping to a bit more of the present day with the American political situation as it is, a lot of us over here are kind of just quietly quaking in our boots as we see the deadline for November come up closer.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what are you guys going to do? Please, please, please don't make it this mistake, guys. This is a big one.
It's a big mistake. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think he's going to win. I don't think Donald Trump has a chance of winning. I really hope not.
Are you quite engaged in the political process in the U.S.?
Yeah, but it's really like, you can't possibly take him seriously as a candidate. There's no way that he can possibly be. I don't think he could be president.
Well,
I mean,
no, but there is a, like, the fact is the chances are less than zero.
Yeah, it's really scary. We don't know.
Have you heard much about the situation in Australia right now with marriage equality?
I know. Well, there's like this weird notion that if you like turn it over to a plebiscite, that's the right. I think that's wrong too. You know, in America, if you did that, we wouldn't have marriage equality.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't want to count on the population to make a decision that kind of forward thinking or progressive. I'm not sure why they're thinking they would just delay the process further.
It was brought in by Abbott, who was our Conservative Prime Minister before the recent Malcolm Turnbull, who did bring it on as a delaying tactic.
Yeah.
The word plebiscite actually comes from like the voice of the plebs. Mm-hmm. It's literally about asking the peasants about what they think. Because it's not binding. And the thing is, though, we actually have the population on our side. Polls show a minimum of 60% of the population support it.
Yeah.
So it's just watching politicians now. Now there are two bills for it because two of the progressive parties are fighting over who's going to be the one to put a bill forward. So everyone's fighting over us in and we're the football. It's great. What are five things that you love about bisexuality? Go.
I love the opportunity to be somebody that's sort of different. You know, we're different, we're unique. I love the fact that we can understand the like femininity and masculinity in different ways. I love that we get to be with men and with women. I love that we have the uniqueness of our community to draw upon. We have a great kind of passion to get to know each other any SF. I love being bisexual.
I think the flag's pretty cool too. I like
the flag is cool.
It's nice colors.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming in, Margaret Cho.
Thank you.
Amazing to have you here.
Great to meet you.
You're listening to Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. I'm Ruby.
Anthony.
Christina.
And that was Margaret Cho.
So exciting.
That concludes our wonderful interview that we had with her on Friday. She only spoke with two shows, and I jumped in pretty fast because I was just like, she's bi. She's ours.
Yeah. And appropriately so.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about bi privilege earlier. How's that?
We do a lot of claiming, don't we? We're kind of like, that's mine, that's ours, she's ours, he's ours.
But I think, like, when you look at it as far as how much there is out there, it's more just like, can we just have these three out of your 600, please? Yeah. Please.
Good point. Good point.
Please. We Good need point. Them. They mean so much because there are so few.
So few who are willing to talk as much as we do.
That's true.
About what it is to be us.
So we want to thank Margaret for coming onto our show. And Margaret, if you're listening or catching us on the podcast, we love you and thanks so much. And we hope when you're in Melbourne next again that you can come back onto our show.
Because you're effing funny, girlfriend.
She is.
Holy cow.
I could listen to myself talk and I know I speak quickly. But when I was nervous, I was just like rattling off like 20 words per second.
Did you fangirl a little bit? I think you fangirled, didn't you?
I was not even a little. Like, this was like a pretty full-on fangirl experience. But it was that kind of thing of like, I don't want to mess up because I think you're so cool. Please like me. Oh, she doesn't like me. Oh, no.
Well, she was pretty cool. And she was she was very normal as well. Easy to talk to. And and I'm sure that came through in the interview.
She was really,
she was just lovely, wasn't she?
And she was so eloquent. And I thought, you know, she had some, and she has a comment she made a little while ago that I loved was, you know, she has a lot of tattoos and she said that, you know, what is more beautiful than a woman who's claimed back her body to the point where she'll put art on it?
Yeah.
I was just like, yes.
She rocks, man.
She does.
Totes does.
Anyway, I'm going to stop the swooning. It has been interesting listening back to that. It was a hell of a Friday, that is for sure. I hope people do have enjoyed it. I wish there were more bi celebrities. I do. I think it would be nice, not only just because I feel we have the first claim on them if they come to Joy. They're yes. for us. But I was just thinking before with musicians, like, do you think it's hard to come out as bi as an actor? Because people talk about it being, you know, something people do for attention, but it doesn't seem to be something people actually do particularly publicly or loudly.
I think any time that an actor has come out, I mean, you look at people like What's-His-Nots from that thing that was on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that.
That
oh, yeah.
That was beautifully
that
eloquent.
One? Yeah. That one.
You're being very specific.
Well, we don't really come out, do we? We don't have the same kind of coming out experience. We don't, you know, like I remember when I used to go to IQ at Barclay-Barry's and they had like, you know, a coming out party for and like the people there who'd, you know, just come out to their friends and family. And I guess... Yeah.
I would have loved to have had a coming out party.
Yeah, but I guess like for me at least the decision took like, you know, 6 years.
Well, I came out pretty like, yep, okay, this is it, I'm bisexual. And I came out to everyone at more or less the same time, then changed my mind several times before I actually was okay with who I was. But going back to the celebrity things, I think because every single time a celebrity does come out or an actor does come out as bisexual and they're with an opposite gendered partner, the first question that they're always asked is, you're bisexual, but, you know, you're with a man now or you're with a woman now. So kind of negating the whole coming out thing to begin with. And I think a lot of actors are kind of like, really? It's my personal life.
I think we mentioned on a previous show, you have to come out every time you get into a new relationship.
Yeah.
Because you have to kind of just remind people, explain again, no, actually, the reason I'm now dating a woman and not a man is because I like women and men.
Yes. And maybe that instead of a sort of coming out party, I'd like to have a sort of bi-explaining party or bi-explanation party. I'm going to fill a wall with lots of little posters with about 1,000 little explanations.
Shut up. I'm only telling you once.
Yeah. Take a post-it, have a shot.
You know how they have that like those worldwide meditation things that you can all do at the same time?
Yes.
Can we have like a worldwide bi explanation event?
Man,
everyone just tunes in at the same time and gets zen with their shit and just listens to us.
The vibrations we will... Yeah,
we are coming up with genius here. It's fantastic.
But we have to go.
We do have to go. You've been listening to Triple Bypass. You're on Joy 94.9.
See you.
See you next week.